which I already talked about. And then the last goal has to do with the workplace culture. First is finalizing the rule-making process, which has been accomplished, and I'll talk more about that when we get to the rule update. And assessing new performance review tool for quality and effectiveness, and to determine whether revisions are needed. We've kind of unofficially made some revisions in that as people use portions of the performance review tool, we'll kind of pull out some sections that perhaps aren't appropriate to that particular employee. But for the most part, supervisors are using that review tool that had been developed by our staff a few years back and finding it to be pretty helpful. So that's the update on that. There are, of course, other things that are in the old and new business, so I won't talk about them now, and I'd be glad to take any questions.
I have a question with regard to the employment. I believe the past report indicated 89 have been placed in employment.
Right.
72 in gainful employment and homemakers. We never hear what type of salary these people get. Is there any way to get that information of what, we have no right to know what the individual, you know, what an individual makes, but I think we should know if these are just jobs or if they're good jobs or a mix.
Sure.
Is there any way to get that information?
Yeah, there sure is. Frankly, there's always so much information, it's hard to know what to provide. So a question like that is helpful. Carlos, do you want to?
The average is like $10, close to $11 an hour. That's the average. Most of them are not entry jobs. We have a variety. The one that was making the most at entry level was close to $17 an hour full time. Many of them have technical, administrative, and management type of jobs, but there are also some entry jobs. Very few of them are minimum wage. There are several who are part time though. Okay. But our percentage, the average again, is close to $11 an hour. I could work on getting the exact numbers for you guys and email it to you.
I'd like to have them.
Sure.
And if you like, that could be something that we would do on an ongoing basis to provide the kinds of jobs that people are getting and the salaries.
We report that to the Feds every quarter. So
right.
We have the money.
I know years ago, long before any of the employees or the commission were employed, they seem to have the attitude that a job's a job. Go out and get the job. We've done all we can, you've got a job, you can't complain because you're making 75 cents an hour.
Right.
And that's what we want to avoid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the things that we really stress is encouraging people to have high expectations about the kinds of work that they'll do and what they should be paid.
Be appreciated.
Sure.
Okay, are there any other questions?
Maybe I could mention on the, Carlos mentioned the data, the reporting that we do to the feds at the end of each year from the 9/11. He didn't say 9/11, but 9/11 is the big form that the feds use for all of the vocational rehabilitation data, and there's a huge amount of data in that. That is all goes to Washington as a data stream. So, you know, not only is it not accessible, it's all just numbers. Nobody would know what it is, you know, without. And so I think the ongoing reports that Carlos can be compiling some of those key things that we do get judged on, and maybe some of the others as well, benefits and soul support and that type of thing, in real words and numbers that a person can understand instead of just the machine in
right.
Washington.
We can
sure do that.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you, Pearl. It's now time again for public comment, if people have any comments from the floor.
Barb is Junior Rock.
Yes.
Now is probably as good a time as any. I was going to make myself available at the February meeting, and of course, transportation options, I didn't allow that to happen. I called the commission office shortly thereafter and requested a tape copy of the minutes. And I listened to the tape up until the webmaster report, and I stopped the tape at that point, never went back to listen to it. I want to, first of all, extend to this, the board, and to Dr. Van Zandt and whoever else in the room, an apology for an article that was written about my attending the NFP convention last October. When I went to the convention, I had no intention of writing an article, and there were some things in the article that probably could have been settled differently than what they were. So for that, I do want to apologize for not using some common sense. I thought about some remarks that were made at that meeting, and one of the remarks that stuck out was one that you made, and you were right on target, when you said, I probably didn't represent the commission very well, of which, quite frankly, looking back on it, I didn't. I talked to Pearl during the break, and sorry to be taken care of, but I want to do it publicly. The amount of money that was spent to send me to the state convention, I just today gave Pearl a check reimbursing the commission for the amount that was spent, with the request that when funding permits, I be given a second chance at attending the convention at the commission's expense. That's what I had, and I want to apologize if it ruffled some feathers and so on and so forth, and hope that we can move on.
Well, you ruffled our feathers too, because you said an ACBN perspective. Well, ACBN had nothing to do with your
exactly.
article.
Exactly.
So I jumped you on that one.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there any other public comment?
This is Sean Jonas. I have one comment for Pearl and Carlos. With the recent Randolph Shepherd stuff in the news, this is, going back to, with staff training, I know that training went very fast, and I was, because Omaha really, really needed me. But right now, with hearing all this stuff in the, with the different group meetings and stuff, I really still don't understand what the BE training program does. And so I think there should be at least maybe one of the readings in the, were assigned, or maybe even a discussion with Carlos, or maybe even directly with Terry on what the BEP program is.
Thank you, that's a very good idea, Will.
Especially for somebody in my position where I work, with orientation counselors, rehab counselors, and clients, no matter where they are in the rehab program. So, it could be, I end up working with somebody on the site trying to get their cash register working.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
For some reason we miss it because it's in the checklist.
Well, as I said, I know it went really fast, so Carlos, I'll talk to you later and maybe give you some more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. We always appreciate staff perspective on whatever it is, because you are the people who are providing the services, and if you don't have adequate materials or whatever, then it's good to make that known and have it happen.
And maybe see if any new people came in that would like to introduce themselves.
Okay, has anybody else come in who hasn't, if you haven't said who you are and where you're from, preferably other than your mother's womb, now would be the time. Is there anyone who has come in?
I'm Bill Brown. There's those that would say that I haven't come from my mother's womb. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, I'm from Lincoln. I'm the business manager in the commission.
Very nice.
Welcome. Anyone else? Okay, if there isn't further comment, is the lunch crew ready for us to be considering doing the lunch thing?
Is it lunch yet?
That is the next item on the...
Pearl went to check, this is Val.
Okay, is Nancy...
She's coming.
Okay, okay. If there's anything that you would like to tell us about the procedure of, you know, getting or whatever with the lunch, but before you do that, excuse me, we have not yet adjourned, folks. We did take up a free will offering, if that's what you'd like to call it, for the
donuts
and or lunch expenses, and if you, well, whether you really want to come and get it or not, I would ask you to do that.
Okay, I'm glad to. Thank you. And actually, I'd like the board to go through first so that they have plenty of opportunity to meet the students they're serving. And they're going to introduce themselves and ask you, tell you what they're serving and give you a chance. And then once everyone maybe is seated, then the public can come through and we'll have a chance to visit with the students too. We'll move some more chairs in for lunch. Okay, I think, so what time are we planning on starting? 12:20?
No, actually we're planning, if it's ready, on starting now and ending at 12:20.
That's what I meant. The food's all ready.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so we're all ready for people.
Is there still ice water in the pitchers?
Yes, I'll get fresh. There's other drinks out there on the table also. And thank you for the money.
Were they growing?
You're welcome.
No. Thank you for the donuts.
Thank you.
Yes, there's tables set up outside.
But they weren't growling at each other, no.
Excuse me, people, we are still not officially adjourned, so please be quiet and give Nancy your hint.
The hallway outside the room runs north and south, and as you step out the door on your right, there are tables set up with the food. And so as we walk out the door, as you turn right, you're going south, and we're just going to walk along south along the tables, and then once you get to the end, you can just turn around and come back in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll get fresh water. Thank you.
I think they want
now we are adjourned for lunch. Reconvene then. We want to thank everybody who isn't in here, probably because they're still serving, for the wonderful lunch. But we will we'll make sure that people get the word that was delicious.
Absolutely. I asked Jane when the students are ready if they'd bring them in so we could thank them.
That would be great. Okay, the next item on the agenda is old business, and the first thing is the rule update.
All right. Thank you. The final chapter 4 of our 4 chapters did, as you know, get completed with an effective date of April 8th. We just this past week received the print copies that we will be distributing. Since these are the workplace policies, we will provide one to every staff member, and we'll have a form for each person to sign to designate that they have received it, and as new people start, we'll make sure they get the rule, the chapter, and the format of their choice. And it might be worth discussion of for the future, if we find errors after the point where they've been approved by the Attorney General and the Governor, do we want to just leave those errors in there? They're never, you know, major things. They're typos and they're spellings that, of course, you don't want to see in something that's your official version. So we did, in this last chapter, go ahead and make those changes before printing. But if you think it's better to leave them the way they are, when we have another one, we'll go by your judgment. Of course, we tried. I mean, it's amazing that there were things that were found, because with all of the chapters, there were so many different people working so hard to catch everything, that it was kind of amazing to find those errors. But anyway, I just wondered what your thought is on that.
There's nothing wrong with just correcting clerical errors. There's nothing legally wrong about that.
Right.
Go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Misspelled words and things, I just...
It makes sense to me to have...
Yeah, I think that it makes sense to make the corrections when they're discovered, and maybe have a thing at the beginning of it saying, this is the however many revision, the officially recognized edition is, and then have some designation so that people know what that is. Because, you know, just like with our minutes that one time when we had several versions, we do need to know what we're working off of, and then we also, with these chapters of rule, we need to know what the government is working off of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it would be good to have that kind of a designation, but I'm always in favor of, once an error is caught, to fix it and have that be, you know, available.
Okay. I will also mention that in the chapter related to business enterprise and blind vending program, we are certainly finding some areas that need clarification and perhaps need more text on a particular area. So the vending one, all of the chapters we look at about once a year to kind of make sure we're either on track with doing what's in there, or if we need to make a revision either in our practice or in the rule, that we would do whichever. But with chapter 3, we will definitely be at some point in the near future looking at beginning the public process again. I'm not sure how quickly we'll do that, but it is something within this next year we'll need to begin working on.
Now
sorry, Val.
She's crying. The bylaws that we were sent for the business enterprises still refer to 206 whatever. What kind of official thing needs to happen to change that? Because if anybody tried to look for that now, it's obsolete.
That's a very good point. That's something the vendors committee needs to do, and I can notify the new chairperson about that and ask the committee to begin looking at that, checking their whole bylaws.
Okay, anything else on that?
No.
Well, again, thank you to everybody. And part of the reason that those things happen is that absolutely everybody and anybody who has worked on it has been in a hurry, because that isn't the only or even main thing that mostly has been going on. And so it's, but it is good to have those done and in place.
Thank you.
The next item is the budget update.
As you heard him introduce himself, Bill Brown is now with us. He's the business manager. I'm going to talk about the budget, and then if you have any specific questions, or, well, any questions for that matter, that you want to ask of Bill, he's here and has a lot of data that he can go right to if you want specifics. What looks like the final state figures, although it's still not completely finalized, but it does look pretty strong at this point that the general funds we will receive for this next state fiscal year starting July 1 is $644,765. And so, as I mentioned in earlier reporting times, at the end of this federal fiscal year, we will it's the end of our transition grant, which was $275,000 a year, and the Helen Keller grant, which was $50,000 a year the first year and then decreasing each year. and the in-service training quality award, which gave us about an extra $30,000 for sending people to workshops and training sessions. So those obviously are things that will make a significant gap in our overall operations. I wanted to share with you, Bill put together kind of a history, a brief budget history that I thought might be helpful in understanding where we are today with the budget situation. As you know, we became a commission July 1 of 2000, and at the end of September 2000, we did receive $60,000 in Social Security reimbursement and $51,000 that were reallocation funds from vocational rehabilitation to help pay our bills for fiscal year 2000. We were at that time really working on in-kind and soft match so that we wouldn't be asking for more funds from the state, since senators were really emphasizing that we should not be requesting additional funds. We had the grants that I mentioned. In 2001 and 2002, we completed the process to reclassify almost all of our staff, actually, increasing their wages so that they would be paid closer to what they should be getting. And that cost the agency about $90,000 a year to have those upgrades in salaries. Then we, in the same period of time, we had quite a bit of Social Security reimbursement that in fact had not been claimed in the past, and so a real concentrated effort was made to get that reimbursement, which was a big help. In 03, we lost some of our general funds and have not had a significant raise since. It's been minuscule each year from the state. We did apply for a significant budget increase for 04 and 05 and were denied that increase. We were still able to manage additional expenses because we had the carryover from previous years and Social Security funding. Then in the 06 and 07 budget, we did project the amount that we needed to help to cover expenses. We also had some major cost increases that I want to make sure you know about. In 04, we were informed that our workers' comp cost was increased 400%. We did check to see if, you know, maybe this was a mistake. It was not. They've reassessed, and so what we have to pay is increased 400%. The cost for state cars went up 25% this past year, and so that made a huge increase because we've had quite a fleet. As you know, we've put a big emphasis on our staff being able to get out into and across the state. In January, the governor's budget came in with no significant increase associated with his budget. They've put a lot of emphasis, both the previous governor and now Governor Heineman, in not wanting to replace lost dollars and not wanting to replace federal project dollars. And so even though we did meet with the governor and, you know, gave them a lot of the information about specific jobs and how well people are doing and what it pays back to invest in vocational rehabilitation, that was still didn't make a difference. So management's, well, actually, and through this past several years, all of the staff have come up with ideas for efficiencies and cost savings, and we've made a lot of changes to make even more efficient a budget that's already quite certainly no fat on our budget. And so in February of 05, we sat down with field supervisors and management staff to even more closely look at what our budget was like, and how we could manage, basically, to cover the expenses that we were having if our operations continues as they have. So we did make some changes. You all got that memo that had some of the specific things, like such as we sent back 3 cars to the state fleet. I'm going too fast. 4 cars, thank you. You know, made a number of other changes to help make our budget stretch. One of those was a mandatory furlough, which means that each staff person worked 1 hour less per week and received 1 hour less pay. And so that's the temporary fix, and we were looking to see, you know, how we would move from that. With our new budget figure, or what we think it will be based on right now, after October 1, we will need to make $320,000 of cuts if we were to continue operation as it is. And if you think about it, that's pretty close to the $275,000 is what we will lose from not having the transition grant. And then, as I said, Helen Keller was about 50. So we are looking at specifics that will need to be, changes that will need to be made as of October 1, or even in the meantime. As I said, we already made some changes. That's kind of the big view, and I wanted to leave some time for discussion.
You said you sent 3 state cars back to the fleet. What do you use instead?
Okay, I misspoke. It was 4, and we do already have, we do still have cars in every office. We had 11 vehicles, is that right, Bill?
Actually, we had 22.
We had 22 vehicles, thank you, numbers. And so we still have 18 vehicles. Staff in the offices just need to work together to make sure, you know, coordinate trips or take turns on a day in the office and strategies like that to make the cars. And also we're working at more contacting people by phone or by internet if they use the internet, and doing more of that kind of thing in addition to going into the areas with the vehicles. It's an ongoing effort, and you know, all of the staff really have been very good at working to be as mindful of costs as they can, and you know, doing a really good job with that.
I guess for the future, I think maybe it was just ended up. I guess I'll ask the question: when the transition money came and new staff was taken on, wasn't it? Didn't we learn that we made a mistake, that they should have been maybe contract workers rather than employees?
Yes.
So that was just learning curve thing and
yeah, let me speak to that, because we did check on that when we hired those folks. And at the time, we were advised from Health and Human Services and from personnel, I mean, that fine, no problem, you know, hire them on. And state agencies had the practice of they would hire people on and then they would let them go when the project ended. And I don't know if it's because the labor contract has clarified their language on this point, or if they're just enforcing it, but the truth is those other agencies never should have been doing it either. So it's not like we just went merrily along and didn't even check. But yes, if we, any new grants that we've written, staff is written in as contract staff, and will be.
So now that the project has ended, are you going to keep those staff on, or what?
We will probably have to cut specific positions, but the specific people that are in those positions may have seniority. Now we're looking at the entire budget and the entire staffing array and seeing what we have today that could possibly be different as the agency has grown. And so, once we really find out what the governor's budget is, then those decisions will be made and announced. But definitely, we're looking at staffing. Another thing I should say is we're looking at paying more for direct service, staff salaries out of the older blind grant, the independent living grant, the Part B independent living, that more of those, instead of contracting out, could go to staff salaries. So that would help to stretch the funds that are in basic support for salaries.
Do you know what number that is? I mean, that's been contracted out in the past?
Well, what I'm talking about contracts are like VIPS, radio talking book.
Oh, program. I thought you maybe hired people for specific things.
We've had very little contracting. We do actually have a contract right now with a person to do very focused placement services, employment placement. That's pretty minimal, and he only gets paid when the person gets the job and after a certain period of time of working.
So right now, I saw the number in Bob's report that Bill had come up with, essentially like $201,000 now of staff time would be money that should come out of older blind money. It's just been one pot of money before, right? I mean, we've tracked it, but we've never really dealt with it that way before.
Not quite. We have allocated, I think it's $109,000 worth of the older blind grant for staff salaries. Is that the wrong number?
Actually, it's about 145, I think.
Thank you.
At this point, with the benefits.
It started out as about 109 when we back around 2000.
Okay, so now it's about 100. So yes, we've done a portion, but then we always tried to keep some of that grant free for those other group service contracts. Mm-hmm. But we might need to, change that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when the reauthorization passes in Congress, if it goes through as it has been passed in the state Senate and the House, and now it'll go to the floor, I guess. It's past the committee, not the Senate yet. If it goes through the whole process as it is, we will begin to receive $350,000 from the older blind instead of $225,000. So that would be an extra amount that then we could provide for staff salaries. Now, we probably won't know that, though. That could take quite a while yet, and we will need to make some of these other decisions probably before we get that those funds.
So technically, you could, or some options, I mean, you could have to lay some people off, but if this reauthorization money comes through, then they could be rehired back. Or I guess that's just any number of possibilities.
Oh, a lot of possibilities.
But how does it, I mean, as far as the laying people off, as far as, is there any kind of layoff to keep their benefits? I mean, some kind of furlough or something short of complete termination?
Furlough is limited to a certain number of hours within 6 months.
Right.
Do you know what the number is offhand?
Actually, I think it's about 30 days in a 12-month period.
Okay, working days. And so that's still pretty limited in terms of, it's a lot more working time than a layoff would be. So technically, no. I mean, for your question.
Yeah, there's no soft layoff that they can keep.
Now, the state does have a very good re-employment plan, so if someone applied for a different position within the state, they would have, priority, a very strong priority. If they've got the skills, they pretty much have the job. So, as far as the individuals and the chance for employment, that helps a little bit, but of course, nobody wants to do layoffs.
Is there an order for how the decision, do you have a a while back there was a contingency plan.
Right.
We haven't seen one lately, I don't think, that...
With the, when the budget, biennium budget is submitted, we're also required to have a budget modification plan, which I think is what you mean by the contingency plan. And that doesn't really get updated until if you need to make decisions, you aren't necessarily bound to this. But that plan is, I did bring it with me. The first thing, well, part of our, we thought we would be hiring one older blind kind of support specialist that would be, handle a lot of things statewide. We would eliminate that person. Well, we don't have that person, so, you know, but, so that was the first thing. The next thing was eliminating the three transition staff. Next is eliminating three state vehicles. Next thing is eliminating membership dues and subscriptions, which we've been talking about. There are a few things we pay for that are available on the internet that we should just maybe go to, and encouraging people to check that on their own. The two main things we belong to that we pay dues for are the Council of State Voc Rehab, State Administrators of Voc Rehab, and then the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. Those could go away, although it would be really a shame to cut ties with both national entities. Next was minimal equipment for offices. Now we're getting down to where, you know, I mean, that would only save us $1,000 because we're pretty stingy on equipment to begin with.
All the things up to that point, how many dollars are you talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I won't count the new older blind staff person because it isn't really, it's in there if we get the 350. Well, I guess I'll count. That's 24,000. I'll round the three transition, 50,000. Now, this is actually just the state portion. Is that right, Bill?
That's actually...
Because eliminating three transition people would not be, yeah, this is just the general
fund. Yeah, that's just the general fund part of it, that's correct.
So that's what I have in front of me, 50,000, and these mainly would be 80-20 type of match. The vehicles, about 3,800.
So the 50,000 is 20%? Or is that, say that again?
Yeah, that's ends up being about, that would end up being about, the positions themselves, all total, would be about $150,000, the three of them.
Well, that doesn't work out 80-20.
Well, no, it doesn't, but what we had to do when we submitted this, again, when we submitted the original proposal and that added up to 50,000 on this document, mm-hmm. we had to calculate the amount that would affect only the state general funds. And there were some things that we had put in the original budget that were 100% state funded, some that were less than 100% state funded. And so it just came out, this thing showed a $50,000 decrease in state funds, but those positions themselves will cost us, well, at this time they cost us, I believe it's around $50,000 each.
Okay.
for the benefits and the salaries.
Thank you. That includes all the benefits.
Right. I was trying to figure that out because I thought the grant covered salaries. Now, so the grant in those positions, the grant didn't cover benefits?
Yes, it did.
It did. So I don't understand. What was the state portion for?
Oh, there wasn't a state portion, but if we continued those positions, there would be a
there
state
would because be. So what we're saying is if we continue that, but since we're talking about cutting those and they didn't cost the state,
well, still we got $325,000 less dollars to spend, so
right.
So the, you know, forget state, federal, anything, now we got $325,000 less to spend, and so 150 would be these three salaries of that 325.
325?
That was the number, wasn't it? About the number that...
About 325.
About 320 is
what we've...
It's what we have to cut.
It's not exactly the same as the two grants because, as I said, we had additional funds that, I didn't mention carryover from previous year, I don't think, but that we did have social security funds we were still able to carry over and use. We had thought when those kept, started really increasing, the reimbursements, we really thought that would increase. We really, you know, kept working on ways to increase our funds, which hasn't happened. And so, and we have been much more proactive in doing activities to assist with employment, you know, being much more involved with some expenses that, you know, perhaps in the past we wouldn't have done. So when you think about the expense side of our budget and the funding side, that's where we end up with the $320,000 deficit.
The other piece is the budget, the state budget numbers. If we quote you out of the state budget numbers, that fiscal year runs from July until June, and actually we're going to have that transition grant for the first 3 months of this next state fiscal year. From July until September we will still have that, and so we had to fit that in. Again, the essential piece of this is that it saves us about $50,000 per staff member that we would, or per FTE that we would eliminate.
So it's about then, you're saying, so a fourth of the transition budget or transition grant, which is whatever, 85,000 or whatever, that's, you know, basically part of this state fiscal year. So next year that'll be gone too from
that. That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay. Now in as far as labor, the labor rules, you know, the three transition people, is it work as simple as you throw all the employees in the state into a pot and then who's ever got least seniority is the ones that get cut?
Not quite that simple. It's related to class code and grade. So the positions, and our transition counselors are the same as a rehabilitation counselor and the orientation counselors. Those are all the same classification and code.
So they're all in one pot, and the lowest three are
well,
the three.
We can distinguish the, let's say if we decide that we could have one less either vocational rehabilitation counselor or orientation counselor in a particular district, then and there's quite a sophisticated process of bumping by seniority that's within the class code, so that's enters in there, and the person can also bump to a lower class or code, or is grade the right word, but classification basically. And of course lose some pay, but with seniority a person could choose to do that as well. But first would be bumping within the job name and then within the job pay level or classification. I guess classification is the voc rehab and orientation counselor distinction.
Right.
And then grade or code is puts the things that are all at the same level, which those two are the same pay level.
So since that's at the top of the list, I mean, so essentially three people are going to be gone. I suppose there could be attrition, somebody could leave, but I mean, when does that choice have to be made?
It needs to be effective October 1 because that's when those funds end. However, really, we've been working very hard to, you know, look at the whole picture and see if there's any way we can manage without layoffs. I don't think there will be, but we are looking at, you know, what can we do to avoid that.
Can I throw in one more piece? I don't want to be misleading here. So the positions that we would probably need to eliminate, instead of being about $50,000, are going to be between $40,000 and $45,000. And the reason for that difference is that the people that would probably be leaving would be less senior people. And if you take all of our counselors together, it ends up being about $50,000 apiece. But if you take, again, the lower folks will run in the neighborhood of $40,000 to $45,000. And so I need to make that clarification because that could be misleading to you.
So you actually get less budget savings, what's going to actually happen rather than what hypothetical.
That's correct. That's correct.
So it's...
So now we had gotten to the membership, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Pearl, but we had gotten to that. Now that would save what?
That saves 1,000 state, 1,101. I was rounding some of the others.
Yeah.
You want me to keep going up? Oh, I said the minimal equipment for offices, that's $1,034. Then we had listed eliminate the diabetic alternatives counselor, which is just a half-time position, $5,516.
Actually, that's about $25,000 would be the actual savings for that.
Thank you. I'm just reading from what's...
Yeah, the numbers...